Oh, good morning. All right, well, we're going to continue with our study of the nine marks of a healthy church as we've been going through. For those of you joining us online, this is now week six of going through this. We got a few more marks, and today we're talking about the mark of a healthy church of being a healthy understanding or a biblical understanding of church membership. And as we get ready and jump into this subject this morning, one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot is, how is your idea of church changed over the past 4 months, or has it? I know for me it's been a challenge. Not the fact that my idea of church has changed per se, but it has been challenged. And I've been thinking a lot about it over the past 4 or 5 months, how I have missed, this. I get to see a smiling face, a couple. There's all more than a couple here, but I miss this. However, I'm not satisfied. Not until we're all gathered together again. Though I'm grateful for the blessings that we all can be to each other, but this place has the capacity to be filled more. And, until that happens, I will not be satisfied. Hopefully my words won't come back to bite me, but I just love the church. I love the local church. I love the idea of the church. I miss Awana. I miss youth group. I miss Sunday school. I miss all the times where the church gathers. I miss the Sunday school picnic. Hopefully won't miss the family camp in September, though that is still uncertain. When I say the word church, though, we have to be reminded that the church is not a building. The church are the people. Now, look around you. As I marveled in the first service, I sit here and I am so thankful for this building. So what I'm about to say does not mean that I do not like this building or anything about it. It's quite the opposite. I was just sharing with somebody the other day where there have been a few weeks over the past 4 or 5 months where I found myself, now I have the privilege of coming here every day, but there's been a few weeks where I found myself last couple months coming in and just sitting in the middle praying for our fellowship, praying for these pews to be filled again, and then at the same time being thankful for everything that we have here. I marvel at our building, and I'm grateful. The local church is a gathering of those who believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord, who are committed to meeting regularly for worship, teaching, fellowship, prayer, on and on. We gotta get over this idea that we're just committed to a Sunday morning. We're committed to when the Church of Bethany gathers. So when we're asked, hey, what church do you go to? We're not saying, oh, I go to the church 3901 44th Street. Well, then we've just attached our identity to a building. Though this building is beautiful, our identity is with one another, is with the people. So Bethany can meet at Kin Canyon, for instance. Bethany can meet on a farm. Bethany can meet anywhere else. This is just a location that God has blessed us with that we have to steward well, and by God's grace, we will do that. But Bethany Baptist Church, folks, are the people. We're not committed to a building. We're committed to each other in relationship. And so I wonder how our idea of church has been challenged over the past 4 to 5 months. That is a great question. I have to admit that I'm a little frustrated with how church is portrayed. Oftentimes it's portrayed as boring. The music is too loud or too quiet, or the music is too fast or too slow, or the music, you know, why am I hung up on music, I wonder? Perhaps the programs don't meet my needs. And there just seems to be this, I don't know, negative portrayal in general about church, where I can see where some would be repelled if they're going to church to get something primarily out of it, with this consumer mindset saying, well, why would I even buy into something like that? And if we just have a carnal view of the local church, I get it. I can understand that even right now, there might be some either here in this room or many who are watching that are hesitant to become a member of the local church. Well, I'm going to argue this morning and present what I consider a biblical understanding of what it means to be a church member, a member of the local church. Now, emphasizing church membership and trying to protect the idea of membership, and I'm not saying this in a prideful way, and I'm just going to talk about Bethany ourselves, but I think we're in the minority. I could be wrong. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know everyone out there, obviously, but I wonder if membership has been kind of dumbed down to a point because we don't want to keep people from, you know, we want to remove excuses for people to come to church. Why would we emphasize membership? You know, you're just repelling people, Pastor Peter. Maybe, perhaps, maybe it's because we have a wrong understanding of church membership, and that understanding, hopefully this morning, could be corrected in some way. I find this strange that the idea of membership is being repelled in the local church, because membership is so prevalent in our culture today. We're members of, like, a grocery establishment. You have to be a member of Costco to go in and get it, right? Some of us have become members of things we had no idea until we got the email saying, welcome, you are now a member. And we're like, what? I didn't know I became a member of this. Then others, they don't even bat an eye to membership when it comes to committing to a sports team, to a music group, to other things where, you know, there's a high standard of commitment. Don't even bat an eye, but when it comes to the church, oh, that's not biblical. Sorry. I just don't see that in the Bible. Well, I'm gonna challenge that assumption and say it's all over the place. Now, I will concede this. The word membership, yes, is not in the Bible. Okay, so gotcha. Yeah, I'll stand there. You got me on that one. I would argue that the biblical understanding of membership, otherwise known as commitment, is all throughout Scripture. I could walk you through from Genesis all the way through Revelation, the principle of commitment to a local church. Membership matters, and it's Bethany's commitment, Bethany Baptist Church's commitment, that we will continue to tighten the screws, so to say, on the principle of membership and emphasize that as important. And I'm going to lay out reasons why this morning. I agree with Mark Dever in his book, The Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, who says this: I am convinced that getting this concept of membership right is a key in revitalizing our churches, evangelizing our nation, furthering the cause of Christ around the world, and so bringing glory to God. I understand that the idea of church membership comes with a lot of baggage. I get it. Has it been mishandled? Probably. Yes, it has. And so it's my conviction this morning to be able to, hopefully, in your understanding of it, I'm not here to guilt people. I'm not here to convince you even. But what I hope to do is to show you with integrity the biblical principles that underscore membership in a local church as vital. So first, before we go there, I'm going to answer five questions. The first one is this: what is a church? Well, the word church means ecclesia, okay? It simply means this: a gathering or a calling out of people, okay? So it's simply a gathering. Now, that you can dichotomize or separate the idea of the church being a building all throughout the New Testament. But I'll just give you a couple of examples. The first one being in Romans, near the end of the book of Romans, it says, greet also the church who is in their house. So clearly there is a group of people called the church that is meeting in somebody's house. So we're dichotomizing, or we're taking that idea and we're separating that the church is a building. It's a collection of people that is called the church. Paul refers to the church that is meeting in their house. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, it says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. So here we're going to see, okay, we've just briefly, of course, underscored the importance that the church isn't a building, it's a people. The church is a group of called out ones or a gathering. Now, here we have in Ephesians 2, the idea of the church, Ephesians 1, the idea of a church is the whole body is being referred to. So you have the universal church. Some people use in the church cliches as capital C church and small c church. Capital C church being universal. Everyone who is a born-again believer, who has the Spirit of God residing in their life is part of capital C universal church. We get that. They become part of the grand body of Christ. I understand that. That is good. But what we're going to see is we're going to pull that thread a little bit further and show that, yes, there is what we call a universal church, but we're also going to see that the Bible in the New Testament does refer to little c, or the local church. The local church. The universal church can be illustrated in the body, as I mentioned in Ephesians, but also in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Every Christian is part of the universal church. Matthew 16 says, and I tell you, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. Now, the rock isn't Peter. The rock is Jesus. And that's very important. It provides some distinctions for us when you exegete that verse particularly. But the point is that the church at large, God is building, the universal church. Now, in the New Testament in particular, the word church is mentioned about 115 times. 115. Now, in all of those times that the word church is mentioned, okay, only 15 of them are referred to as the universal church. About 100 of them are referring to the local church. The local church. So even just by the gravity of the amount of times that that word is used in the context of a local church, I think we should probably give it the same credibility, that there is an importance to the local church that even the scriptures are emphasizing, and therefore so should we. In Galatians 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia. So Galatia was like a region in kind of middle Turkey, modern-day Turkey, and there were little churches scattered all throughout there. So even Paul is referring to the local church. The local church. The local church where you have the preaching of the Word of God, where you have the practice of an overseeing of baptism and the Lord's table, or communion, or the Lord's Supper. See, Mark Dever, I'll quote him again, says, this is what the word church means again and again and again in the New Testament. It is a body from which you can be excluded, and in therefore you can be included. Consider this. If there is no way to be excluded from the local church you are currently attending, perhaps that's because you've not included yourself as what the Bible intends. Yes, the universal church is all the saints, but that is the invisible church. The local church is visible representation of the church at large. So that's what a church means. Okay, so church, a gathering of people in both the universal and the local church context, but it's clear in the New Testament that the Bible does emphasize the local church. Let's go on to number two. In church membership, is it biblical? Now, this is where I'm going to probably camp the longest, because with most of the disagreements that I hear about church membership, perhaps you're listening or perhaps you're here this morning, the number one criticism I'll get is, well, it's not biblical. It's not in there. And I would argue, it's everywhere. It's stem to stern. It's all over the place. And I'm going to explain how we can see this and go through it. Now, in our culture today, the idea of commitment is really discouraged. You know, just look at even the view of marriage today. You know, well, let's just live together for a bit, and then we'll see how everything plays out. Like, even the idea of, like, commitment is just so reduced to almost nothing, and it makes me so, so sad. You know, and people carry on that idea of lack of commitment or being scared of commitment in all areas, but for whatever reason, especially the church, especially the local church. And I just, like, it's my heart's cry. I just want to, like, just with urgency share with you why I value membership within a local church and why I believe you should too. I would argue that biblical membership, a biblical understanding of church membership, is vital to our spiritual growth as well. Anyway, let's go. Where do I go here? A key word that I believe is commitment. Now, when it comes to a biblical understanding of church membership, I would ask, even right now, what's a better word? What's a better word than membership? I know that it's not there, but give me a better word. I actually like the word. I think that it's appropriate. It says everything that it needs to say. I know that it's not there, but I'm just asking, well, what's a better word than membership? What more can we find to add to the definition of the word that's already there? I would argue that membership is a great word, and not only is it a great word, it's something that I believe that we as Christians not only should pursue, but also celebrate. Also celebrate. I'm going to explain church membership and commitment in a few contexts. Let's look at the first one. The idea is the language in the scriptures that there is an in and that there is an out. All the way through from Genesis, I was even talking with someone this morning how if you walk through the Old Testament, there is an in and an out language. You're either in the Garden of Eden or you're out of the Garden of Eden. You're either in the ark or you're out of the ark. You're either in the land of Canaan or you're out of the land of Canaan. You know, you can go all throughout the Old Testament and see that there is an inclusive and exclusive language. Why is that? How is that defined? How do we determine that? Those are great questions. Now, it's clear in Paul and John's language, in 1 Corinthians and in 1 John, that there is a in-the-church language and that there is a out-of-church language. Well, how do you determine that? How do you decide that? Who gets to be involved? How does that vetting happen? In 1 Corinthians 5, 12 to 13, it says, "For what I have to do with judging outsiders," there's the outsider language. "Do you not judge those who are within the church?" There's a within. There is a within and without. "But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves." So there is even this implicit command that you have to guard who is in and who is out. You have to guard who is in within you. If they are not among you, if they have not experienced that transformation of a heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, it is your responsibility as a local community, as a local fellowship, a small C church, to be sure that those who are members are saved. How do you determine that? Who vets it? Where's the list? How do you know? Well, over time, we have created this idea of membership that I think is important and valid and is absolutely biblical. 1 John 2:19 says, "They went out from us." Oh, there's that out language again. "But they were not really of us." Well, how do they know that? It must be more than just gathering then. It must just be more than just having good attendance. There is an in and an out language. "For they had not been of us, they would have not remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us." It's obvious that everyone knew who us was and how they knew that they weren't part of us. There is an in and out language. It is clear that a person can be removed from being in the church, which we'll look at in a minute, but Paul's command would be impossible to obey unless there was a way of determining who is an accountable part of the local body and who is not. Simply put, formal exclusion implies or presupposes a formal inclusion. It does. Another context of biblical membership can be shown in the illustration in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, the idea of the body. Oftentimes, the church is illustrated by the illustration of the body, being part of the body. There are those who are part of the body and those are not. Those who are part of the body have a function and want to use that function. God has given us the Holy Spirit and has equipped us to serve, to edify the church, to bring glory to God through serving in the church, to building one another up in Christ and in love. Those who are not of the body will not and cannot do that over time. That's in the context of the body. What about in the context of church discipline? This is where I think some of the strongest arguments of church membership lies. So, in the idea of church discipline, when there is correction needed, because we know that in a collection of imperfect people, me being one of them, we all need correction from time to time. There is no one who is above correction. For we're all imperfect people. We all have when we join a local fellowship, yes, of course, we bring our strengths, but guess what else we bring? Our weaknesses. Guess what else we have to do? And within our weaknesses, they need to be corrected. It needs to be changed. It needs to grow and be sanctified. And the church is given the process in order to be able to deal with those things in love with a redemptive motive. Now, consider this. If your membership includes people who are not saved, or you just dumb it down to say if you attend, you're a member, then it is most possible that you would have unsaved people dealing with spiritual matters in church discipline. That is incongruent and cannot work. But yet, for some reason, we've dumbed down the idea of church membership at large, and now we can get ourselves into all kinds and heaps and heaps of trouble when it comes to church discipline because you have carnal people trying to make spiritual decisions, and they just simply cannot do that. And we get ourselves into trouble, even with the idea of church discipline. You're to take the matter, Matthew 18, first, it's supposed to be one-on-one, and then bring a witness with you. And if that can't be dealt with, then you are to take it to the church. Well, if the church is full or half full with unsaved people, they're going to say, well, I don't see a problem with that. I don't see what's wrong. Because they're living by different standards. It just can't work. So that's probably what I believe one of the strongest arguments for an identifiable in and out language for church membership and why it's so important. There's so many more reasons. I just don't have time to go through them all. Now, what about church leadership? Now, just briefly, there's a couple of instances in Scripture where it says in 1 Peter, for instance, that they are to shepherd the flock under their charge or under their care. Well, who is that? Who are the shepherds supposed to take care of? We have many other churches around in the city of Red Deer. Am I responsible, or the elders of Bethany Baptist Church responsible for other people's congregants or sheep? No. Well, how do we know that? Well, it must be more than just church attendance. There must be a certain standard of what even Paul says they are either of us or not of us that is based on the idea of being born again. They must be believers. They must have that transformation of heart from having a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. How do you determine that? How do you find that out? You must sit down and talk to them. You have to watch their life. You must hear their story. You must do life with them to determine that. So even the shepherds need to know who of which they're responsible for, and then vice versa. What about those where it says in Hebrews to submit to their leaders? Well, who do you submit to? How do you know that? Who determines that? We have so many church leaders that are even online, especially in COVID months. You know, there's so many people, so many leaders out there. Who do we submit to? That's why it's important to have church membership. Hebrews 13, 17 exhorts, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who are given account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Well, who are they? How do you determine that without the idea of church commitment, otherwise known as membership? So to fulfill these responsibilities of both the sheep and the shepherd to determine those things, the idea of biblical membership is enforced. Now, what about in the context of the local church? Now, we've talked about several things. The idea of in and out language in the Bible. We've talked about the body illustration. We've talked about church discipline. We've talked about church leadership, identifying to a local group. But what about the idea of temple language? And this is the last one, and I'll move on. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22 talks about, and Paul paints a picture that the church, the local church, is also a temple of the Holy Spirit. He talks to the Corinthians and says, you collectively, not only individually, but you, Corinthian church, are a temple of the Holy Spirit, being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Temples aren't built of disconnected, independent bricks and timbers floating around everywhere. No, they're built from a definite material committed to being part of a particular structure. They're being committed. They're all in. All the parts of this building are all in. And Paul uses the language of temple to illustrate what it means to be part of a local church. So even in that, the idea of commitment is emphasized in the small C church. So I've given you five or six examples of, is the idea of church membership even biblical? I would say yes, without a shadow of a doubt. And so even if you're all bought into the idea of church membership here this morning, hopefully some of this language would help you to defend it to others. Because I believe it does need to be defended and should not be ignored. And not only that, I think it needs to be pursued and celebrated by each Christian, whether it's a member here or another Bible-believing, gospel-centered church. Which leads me to my third question. Why join a local church? Well, Mark Dever, in his book, gives about five reasons, which I'll highlight quickly. The first one being assurance of salvation issues. You know, this is probably one of the greatest things when it comes to becoming a member of a local church. You would be, if you're not already, interviewed by some of the elders of this church. You'd be interviewed. We'd ask you to write out your testimony, and then we would press you on some of the details of your testimony. Are you a Christian? Yes. Oh, well, do you mind, like, unpacking that? Tell me what that means to you. Because the word Christian today can mean so many different things. So I would love to hear why you believe you are in fact a Christian. Walk it through with me. Then we can understand and determine the best we can. Only God knows the heart, but we can assess the fruit. Best we can go through and determine whether or not we believe that person is saved. And you can gain assurance from that from other believers. So that's one excuse that I think is really, really good. Even 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. So there's assurance there. Where the church provides what I have called or coined godly interference from time to time. All right, so that's the first one. The second one is evangelism. Now, evangelism, I believe, is a primary work of a believer. We need to go out and explain and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. However, just like in anything else we do, there is always more help, or it becomes more effective when we do it together. Evangelism is not meant to just be done on our own. We can do so and do it well and effectively together. And so I think evangelism is one of the reasons why we would join a local church. Yes, of course, you can do it without. But here we have coordinated efforts to do so. We're planning and strategizing. Not that those things are vital, but we just become more effective in doing these things together. To expose false gospels. of which they're becoming more and more, and some of them are even becoming more and more difficult to detect and discern. The enemy is cunning. He is very, very good at lying and can take a little bit of truth and twist it just enough to make one bite in and buy into the lie. Whereas if you're part of a local fellowship with godly leaders who are centering their ministry and the pulpit ministry, especially around the Word of God, there's greater attempts and effort and greater likelihood that you'll catch and those false doctrines and those false gospels and be able to expose them. Two more. To edify the church, becoming a member will help counter our wrong individualism that we in our culture have let ourselves buy into. Individualism, consumerism, and isolationism, which are all being promoted right now, right? All being promoted right now. The idea of isolationism, stand 6 feet apart, wear a mask, don't touch anybody. You know, these things are counter. Now, I understand I'm not going to buy into the arguments and I'm not going to get into that one way or the other. We have to be safe for sure. I'm not smart enough to know all the details on the health side of things. But the idea of community, the idea of collectiveness, the idea of being called out and gathering, like these are all scriptural principles that we need in our lives, that God has established right in the core of our soul on how to edify one another. Like, I'm zoomed out. It's very, very difficult. Like, you know, when it came to communion digitally, that was not even, we would not even consider that. That was our conviction here at Bethany Baptist Church. You know, you just take the word communion and just think about that for like 2 seconds. Doing it digitally doesn't even make sense. Communion. Together, right? All right, I got to be careful so I don't go on rabbit trails here, especially with COVID. Where was I even? Oh, the edification of the church, yes. The idea of gathering, being together, I think you get that. I don't really know if I need to really explore that much further. Also, discipleship, the idea of which is the primary call of the Christian, discipleship, is meant to be done together, right? I think that's important too. Anyway, to glorify God is another reason why we would join a local church. God intends that the way we love each other communally will identify us as followers of Jesus. 1 Peter 2 says this, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why the church is doing what we're doing right now. I can go off into a major rabbit trail on that right now, but I won't. So that they, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of salvation. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples with what? If you have love for one another. It's to bring glory to God. Glory to God, sorry. Our lives together are to mark us out as his and to bring glory to him primarily and solely. Can all this be done outside of the local church? Yes, but I don't believe that that's what God intended. I just don't. You know, I've walked through so many arguments on why I believe biblical membership is principally sound and biblical. Membership matters. It was God's intention that we commit to one another, and we use the word membership. I hope this morning that I'm not here to guilt people. I'm not here to prove anybody wrong. I'm here to point to the scriptures and just say, look, this is not something that we're making up. John Stott says this, if the church is central to God's purpose, as seen in both history and the gospel, it must surely also be central to our lives. How can we take lightly what God takes so seriously? How dare we push to the circumference what God placed right at the center? All right, two last questions, and then we're done. whom will Bethany Baptist Church accept into membership? Well, there are two requirements. One, that you would be saved, and two, that you would be baptized. Those are the two things that we ask. They, you know, even in Acts, there's a progression. They were saved, they were baptized, and then they were added to the church. If people who were saved and not baptized back then, they would say, "Woo, are you even saved? If you're not willing to be baptized, you know, like that was the prime." Baptism is not a secondary doctrine. It's not something that I'll think about later. Baptism is included right in the Great Commission. Like it's right there. I don't understand how it's become so secondary. You know, back then when you were baptized, you were part of the church because you were now marginalized from everything else. It made you committed. Like, I just can't even imagine. But once that person was baptized and everybody was watching, people who knew Jesus and who didn't, but they knew when somebody got baptized, they were all in. All in. They were going to follow Jesus. To reject baptism is to reject church membership. It's rejecting the primary call of Jesus. So they were saved and baptized. Then the last question is this. What does church membership involve here? Well, for some of you who have been attending for a long time, you will know that because every time we receive somebody into membership, behind me, we put up kind of like a small little church covenant of things that we'll commit to. There's 10 items that we show behind me. And I'll read them to you, and then I'll move on. The first thing is that we must agree to a statement of faith. So Bethany Baptist Church has a set of standards, things that we believe in doctrine and in practice. The reason why we do that is because doctrine does divide. So we have to make sure that we are united around the right things. Do you catch that? That's why there's a statement of faith, because doctrine will divide. The second thing is, participate regularly in worship and prayer with the church family. This, by the way, I believe, is more than just a Sunday morning. Like, we are a community and a family of believers that are getting together. And whenever we get together, we're going to do our best to get there. Third thing is, strive for Christian growth in personal Bible study and prayer. To develop your spiritual disciplines, because at Bethany, it is our hope as church leaders that you will not depend on whoever is up here to feed you. That eventually you'll get to a point where you can feed yourselves. That is important, to become a self-feeder, to be independent that way, to be a Berean, take whatever is being set up here and go back and search the scriptures for yourself. I want you to trust people up here for sure, but we got to go back to the Word of God as our source of truth. This is our standard. Limited sexual activity to a heterosexual relationship within marriage. That is a biblical standard that we are holding to. Use the spiritual gifts God has given them in faithful ministry within the church. Support the church financially through giving as God prospers them. Influence others to become disciples of Christ by personal witness. Be loyal to the fellowship and to its people. Participation in the business of the church. And submit willingly to the corrective and redemptive process of church discipline when deemed necessary by the elders. So that is what is involved with being committed to Bethany Baptist Church, those things. I want to close with a story. And by the way, before I even get to the closing here, about three times a year at Bethany, we have an information time for those who are interested in becoming members of Bethany Baptist Church that we ask people to come to, where you can sit down with a couple of elders and listen to even further what it means to be a member of Bethany Baptist Church. I hope that this morning, going through this in a way would help move the needle a little bit for you, that you wouldn't be so opposed to it that you would now go and listen. And whether you're listening online or not, that you would, if you are not a member of your church, that you would consider doing so. If, of course, it's Bible-centered, gospel-oriented. And I'll leave that for you to determine through the knowledge of the Word of God. But I hope that this morning that you would soften to that idea, knowing that no church is perfect, no leadership is perfect. Yes, leadership will let you down. I just know I don't want to, and I say this so I'm embarrassed, but you know, I'll let you down. I wish I wouldn't. Let's get to the conclusion. I want to tell you a story. It's a short one. It's about Jack and Grace, okay? They met through a mutual friend. Jack and Grace met through a mutual friend. This is from a book by Joshua Harris, Stop Dating the Church. They met through a mutual friend. Turned out that they were a perfect match. Grace was everything Jack had always wanted. For the first 5 months, they were always together. It was soon after that Jack had determined, she's the one. She's the one. Yeah. 3 years have now passed. Jack is now very comfortable and familiar being around Grace, but here it comes. That spark, it's kind of faded now. Spark's gone. Grace's flaws are now more obvious, and there were some things about her that has now begun to annoy Jack. He's not sure now that he had found her as attractive as he once did, and is now beginning to resent all the time she wants to spend with him. One night, Grace finally asked Jack to define their relationship together. It's like, okay, what's happening here? Where are we going with this? And Jack turns around, blows up, saying, well, we're together, aren't we? Isn't that enough for you? It's clear that Jack did not want to talk about commitment. You need to know something about this couple. There are millions of Jacks walking around the world today, and Grace isn't a girl. Grace is church. So many Christians want to have a dating relationship with the church. They don't want to be married to her, though. That's too much commitment. Here are three signs that you might be a church dater. A church dater lacks commitment. It doesn't take much to convince them to be elsewhere. It could be a little bit sick. The weather could be nice. That beach could be calling. I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm sick. Pick whatever excuse. All that is for code saying, you're asking too much. I don't want to be committed. I just want to enjoy the benefits of being in community, but I don't want to be committed to it. And here's the thing. Friends with benefits is never appropriate. Never. A church dater does not want to be tied down to any one specific church. There's so many other good things out there. Well, tell that to your girlfriend or wife. And by the way, I don't believe that's a wrong bridge to build. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about and explains a relationship between husband and wife, and then right at the bottom of that little section, he says, oh, by the way, the mystery I'm talking about is a relationship between Christ and the church. It's not an incorrect bridge to build. Last one. A church dater is critical. I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Oh, I've heard that. I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. This is where you get all those complaints, become a critical thinker, right? Or critical thinker. Critical complainer. A critical spirit. And that's where you go off, like, well, the sermon's too long. The music is terrible. The building is too dim. The music is too loud. However you go about it. Criticizing all the wrong things. You could be a church dater if you've become that critical the criticizer, let's say. So the question is, am I afraid of commitment? Am I committed to the church or am I just dating it? I would argue that having a biblical understanding of church membership or commitment, take whatever word you want, is in fact biblical. It's biblical. So has the needle moved? I'm not sure. I just pray that you would prayerfully consider it this morning if you're not a member. If you're not a member of your church, I pray that you would consider it. If, of course, it's Bible-centered, gospel-oriented church. Please don't think that I wrote this message because I'm employed by the church. I am a product of a church plant back in Regina. I believe in the local church, and I believe in its impact, both in my family's life, in the community's life, and into the world's life. It is impactful, and it can be powerful, but we need to be committed to it. So I pray that this morning. Well, there's so much to say. I've tried to pack everything into about 45 minutes or so. That, of course, is impossible. But I will say this, please keep an eye out for, if you're not a church member, that you would please attend one of those membership, I'd say classes, I guess, where you can meet with some of the elders to go through what it means to be a member of Bethany Baptist Church. Let's close, shall we? Heavenly Father, it's with just a heart of wonder that I look at the local church this morning. I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful to be a part of one, to have been a part of one growing up, and to see the large impact it has been, both, of course, with the people that filled the local church as all sinners and all imperfect people, but yet the church is here right now. The church is alive. The church is working. The church is reaching out, is evangelizing, is baptizing. The church is doing what you've called us to do. However, I just pray that we as Christians would see the need of the local church in our own lives in a committed way, that we would not sit back and remain uncommitted and think that that's okay. That is not God's design. That isn't how God intended. There was presupposing in the New Testament that the believers would be committed to the local church. We call that membership. And so, Father, just on a side, we bring glory to you. We thank you for this time, even during COVID. We thank you that we can continue to meet together, and may our commitment grow stronger to be heralds of the truth, to be committed to the local church, and stay solid on the rock of Jesus and the gospel. And so, Father, we love you. Thank you for this time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, and see you next week.